Welcome back to Words Accompanied by the Spirit. This is episode number 76, entitled The Importance of Meditating. So again, I'm in Ecclesiastes this morning. I want to point out scripture that is found in chapter 3. But before I do, the beginning of the chapter talks appointed times and seasons. I want you to pay attention to this scripture because the Lord is dropping the phrase anointed vision in my spirit. He has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, grasp what God has done, His overall plan from the beginning to the end. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 of the Amplified Version. As we read further, there is a promise that goes with this. As I said before, His book is a book of promises. So verse 14 reads, I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor can anything be taken from it. For God does it so that men will fear and worship Him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that He is God. I want to point out a scripture that confirms the importance of meditation, and it is verse 15, which says, That which is has already been, and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by, so that history repeats itself. What the Spirit is saying and confirming to me is that when you meditate on His Word, He continues to open up revelation to give you a divine look into His purpose and His will. You may read a text and get nothing out of it. Then you can go back and read that same text and see how it has manifested in your life. It opens up your trust and it opens up faithfulness as you see God's vision unfolding for your life. At the beginning of chapter 6 in Ecclesiastes, Solomon admonishes that it is a great evil for a man who is so richly blessed but does not see. He is not satisfied or content. It is written, For who, limited by human wisdom, knows what is good for man during his lifetime, during the few days of his futile life? He spends them like a shadow, staying busy, but achieving nothing of lasting value. For who can tell a man what will happen after him? To his work, his treasure, his plans, under the sun, after his life is over. Verse 12 of the Amplified Version. Something that is prevalent in society today is the need to feel like you have to compete with everybody else. So to confirm this, it is written, I have seen that every effort in labor and every skill in work comes from man's rivalry with his neighbor. This too is vanity, futility, false pride, and chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4 of the Amplified Version. Solomon provides a godly answer to this. So I have seen that there is nothing better than that a man should be happy in his own works and activities, for that is his portion, share. For who will bring him back to see what will happen after he is gone? Ecclesiastes 3:22 of the Amplified Version. Yesterday I spoke on balance and the importance of boundaries. This next scripture confirms that stability and limits go hand in hand. One hand full of rest and patience is better than two fists full of labor and chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes 4:6 of the Amplified Version. We are directly being told that equilibrium is expedient for peace and joy, for soundness of mind. Another concept that is continually mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes is how people who are greedy for gain can never be satisfied. They can never rest. The more you gain of what you love and what you idolize, the least satisfied you are. It is called vanity, emptiness. When you meditate on God's word, it strengthens you. It is your armor, your sword. It allows you to focus on joy and tranquility, letting your mind and body rest, relieving you of the inability to be consumed with matters that are out of your hand, even the things that are going on around you. This is why it is written, "Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, 'What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear?' But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also." Matthew 6:31 and 33 of the Amplified Version. Many times in Ecclesiastes, the date of death is mentioned to be better than the day of birth or the day of beginnings. It is written, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, deep in thought, the heart may be happy because it is growing in wisdom. The heart of the wise learns when it is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is senseless in the house of pleasure." Chapter 7, verses 3 through 4 of the Amplified Version. You should be concerned that you are not walking in the right direction with the Lord. You are not meditating on His word. This is evident if you cannot live in the present. It is written, "Do not say, 'Why were the old days better than these?' For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this." Ecclesiastes 7:10 of the Amplified Version. What God is saying is that you are not supposed to be unable to move beyond the past. We see so many people who are stagnated in life, who have not grown spiritually, mentally, and psychologically. This scripture supports that. Spend time with the Lord, or spending time with the Lord, allows you to remain in the present, to keep in step with God, because the past is gone and you cannot get that time back, and the future is always uncertain. When you are walking, it should be synchronized. You are walking in agreement with God. This is why it is written, "The steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand and sustains him." Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24 of the Amplified Version. Liken this to a baby that is learning to take his first steps. As he is walking, you are there to guide him, to hold his hand, making sure that he is safe, knowing that when he falls, you will be there to comfort him, encouraging him to get back up and try again. This is how your walk should be with the Lord. Always coming from a place of love, thank you for joining us again at Words Accompanied by the Spirit. Thank you.